Hey. Hey. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, oh. Come on now, gather round, glad you could join us. Spreading some love to start your morning. No shame in my game, I just wanna praise his name. Living free but not in vain. Where would I be without his grace? Glad he chose my life to save. My life to save.
Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Life Unapologetic with Athena. I am super excited to be back with you guys for another episode. I pray that you guys have had an amazing weekend. I pray that you guys and your family have been safe and healthy as we still are enduring the corona pandemic. I definitely am in prayer for everyone that I know. I'm in prayer for the nation. I'm in prayer for my communities. As you guys know, and those who know me, I love the people of God, and they are truly near and dear to my heart. So me and my group of women have definitely been making it a point to intercede and pray as we seek the face of God through this pandemic. I'm really excited to be back again, just to have an opportunity to have this platform and to present the different episodes that are important to me, and then just the different episodes and content that I think are important for others to know and to learn as it relates to God and as it relates to Holy Spirit. I'm super excited today to really talk about a topic that is truly, truly a big part of who I am in my day-to-day life and how I operate. Definitely does not go right unless I operate within the Spirit of God. And so I'm super excited to introduce to you guys this particular episode entitled The Holy Spirit. I'm really excited to go over the three key points that I've kind of outlined for this episode. I'm just going to go off the cuff. I haven't really studied anything, not that I really need to, because I've been walking with the Holy Spirit since 2018. Really, I went on a one-year consecration in 2018 to really seek out Holy Spirit. And that's where I really learned the difference between religion and relationship. And so in that time, I really developed an intimate relationship with Holy Spirit. And so I'm kind of excited to go over that particular part of my journey and just introduce him to those of you who listen who may not have a foundation or a intimate relationship with him. The three key points that I thought would be important to cover in this episode is, one, who is the Holy Spirit? A lot of us know him as part of the Trinity, but truly, who is he? Then why did God send Holy Spirit to us? And then lastly, when did Holy Spirit come into our lives? And so I'm really excited because what I found as I walk with people who are Christians, as I interact with a lot of different individuals, what I've noticed is that the body of Christ, and I say that as people who say that they are Christians, many of them are unaware of the significance of Holy Spirit. I mean, many of them have kind of an idea of who Holy Spirit is because we know that he's part of the Trinity, right? The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But outside of that, there's no desire or interest for that matter to know, interact, or depend on him. I've literally have seen people really trying to figure out how to get through life, how to get answers, how to hear from God without even having the mindset or the thought or the perspective that that can only be done through Holy Spirit. And so I'm super excited to kind of lay this out because I think it's important that we know who this person is, that we know the significance of who Holy Spirit is, and that we know kind of some of his characteristics and his personality. When we look at the Word of God in John 14, verse 16 through 17, it says, "And I will pray, make a request to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide or stay with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, for he dwells within you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." Now, that those two scriptures are so jam-packed with information. If we were just to break them down, I love the way that in these particular scriptures that it's Jesus who is making this statement to his disciples. And so Jesus was getting ready to be crucified. And we know that Sunday was good, or was the Holy Resurrection Sunday of God. We had Good Friday, and then Sunday represented the life, death, and then the resurrection of Christ. And so when Jesus was going to the cross, and as he was explaining to his disciples the process of what he was getting ready to endure, it disturbed them to their core, because it was almost like Jesus was a father figure. He was a mentor. He was the prime example of something different other than what they had known. He was an example of how to truly live and love and interact within their communities, interact within their world, that showed them a different side of who they could be outside of who they were known to be. It even went to the degree that as God or Jesus called the different disciples, he gave them new names, which primarily was giving them a new identity of who they were in Christ, not who their families had made them to be, or who their communities had made them to be, or who their experiences had made them to be, but he called them by who they were to become through their life's purpose. And so as he was explaining to them that he was leaving, he was promising them that he would ask God the Father. And what I love was when he said, I will ask the Father, that he requested and it was given. It wasn't like he was guessing, if I ask the Father, will he send a helper? But he knew that whatever he asked the Father, that the Father would do for him, because he had that much great faith in God. And so as Jesus asked the Father to send the helper, he explained to the disciples that this helper would be in place of him. So just as he was there with them, just as he helped them, just as he taught them, this helper would do the same thing. I love also how these two particular scriptures laid out that the Holy Spirit would be with us forever. He would never leave nor forsake us. He would always be there, no matter whether we were in good times or bad times, he would be there. And I think with the epidemic and the coronavirus, or the pandemic of the coronavirus that is spreading throughout the world, and that is really taking a lot of lives, there's no other opportunity or no better time to really get to know the Holy Spirit than this. I mean, we are in such devastating times. A lot of individuals are losing their employment, and they're wondering really, how are they going to make it through? And they're really trying to figure these things out on their own. And that was not God's intention for his creation, for you and for I. He wanted to make sure that he established and put things in place, because he knew that the world and that man would go through different hard or difficult seasons or times in life, just because he gave us choice. And we haven't always had the best track record of making good choices. And so I love that Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit would be with us forever. And he said that the Holy Spirit would be truth, which means that he would show us the true things in life. I've noticed in life that there's so many things that are superficial, that there are so many people that you come in contact who aren't who they say they are, and they put on one face, and behind you they act a different way, or they are very superficial, or they're very surface. And so Holy Spirit is truth. He will always show us the truth to what it is, to what our situations and our circumstances is, and most of all to who God is. And then I loved how he explained that individuals who are of the world, or individuals who are not Christians or are not saved, for whatever reason their choice is, that they won't really know Holy Spirit. They won't really grasp the concept of who he is, because they just aren't saved. And unfortunately, that puts them at a disadvantage, especially in times like this where there's this pandemic. If you're not a Christian, you really won't have a desire to seek after Holy Spirit, let alone God. We see a lot of times in movies where life is going good, and then when something goes wrong, everybody looks to pray at that time. But what would it look like if we were already living a life as Christians, living a saved life, a set apart life to God, and that when we began to go, or when we endured or encountered hard times such as this, that we knew our strength, that we knew who provided for us, that we knew who protected us? What would that look like if the world operated with Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, knowing that He is here to show us all things, that He is here to be our helper? I know that it would just be better environments. I know that it would be better encounters. I know that it would be healthier conversations. I know that it would be healthier families if we could just get to that point. So my hope is through this episode that maybe I'll introduce to some of you who Holy Spirit is and maybe intrigue you to want a desire to know Him a little bit more. John, the book of John, chapter 14, verse 26 says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you." I love that because it's a promise from God that of the different roles that Holy Spirit will play in the lives of Christians as we get to know Him. He's our helper. We can definitely use Him now in this pandemic to help us to know the right decisions to make. He's also known as our guide. He's also known as a comforter. He's also known as a teacher. And He's also known as a standby. I love that. When you think of being on standby for a plane, you're kind of waiting. But Holy Spirit is standby, which means He stands by us. He's always there waiting with us, no matter where we are, no matter the circumstances or the situation, not even any matter if we're interacting with Him. He's always there standing by for us to call on Him, standing by for us to interact with Him, standing by for us to seek Him out for things in our life. So in the first key point that I have listed, I wanted to look at who is Holy Spirit. Now, if for those of you who read your Bible, and I pray that most of you do, we see Holy Spirit throughout the Bible. A lot of times what I've noticed, even with myself before my 1 year consecration in 2018, is that I read the Bible, but I really couldn't or didn't identify Holy Spirit as I read the scriptures. And so I'm so grateful now that I'm able to see as I read the Bible where Holy Spirit had been active in the lives of those who walk the earth. And so throughout the Old Testament, which we know the Bible is broken up or divided into two parts, the books of the Old Testament and the books of the New Testament. So when we look at the Old Testament, we can see that Holy Spirit was often referred to or called the God Spirit or the Spirit of God. And so in the Old Testament, we would read or see that the Holy Spirit would come upon individuals in order to achieve God's purpose. Now that's significant versus where we are now, because in those days, Jesus had not yet walked the earth and had not yet been crucified and resurrected for our sins. So they lived under a different way or a different time known as a different covenant or a different contract or promise between man and God. And so in that covenant or in that time, a man was very limited to the interactions of God because they didn't have the Spirit of God living within them. So they only had the privilege and the opportunity to have the Holy Spirit come upon them at certain times to carry out things that God needed them to do. We are so at a better advantage in our time to have Holy Spirit in, upon, and with us at all times. And I pray after this episode that we see that huge difference and significance. And so what I love about the New Testament and the promise of God is that not only does the Holy Spirit come upon us when we receive Christ and when we receive salvation, but He also lives within us. He never, and like we just read, He never leaves us. He will never forsake us. He's there helping us. He's here to guide us. And most of all, what I love is that when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, and Holy Spirit comes into our heart at that moment, at that decision, that He also empowers us to live an authentic life through the principles of God. Now, what does that look like? That looks like we receive God. We say, "Father God, I believe in your life. I believe in your death. And I believe that you rose from the dead. on the third day with all power in your hand. I believe that you're seated at the right hand of God and that you're interceding on my behalf while I'm here on earth. And I believe that you've sent the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to lead and guide me. And so as we believe that, or as we make that statement in our heart, we are automatically saved, which means we are automatically entitled to go into heaven. And at that particular point and at that particular decision or that particular choice that we make in our heart, Holy Spirit comes and He resides in our heart. He is always there. And so now that we have Holy Spirit residing in our heart, when we read our Bible and we begin to open it up and maybe we're looking for an answer for a situation or a circumstance that we're experiencing, because we have Holy Spirit in our heart based on our acceptance of Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're able to see the Bible as principles that we can live by to accomplish the things that we desire to accomplish and to accomplish the things that God has purposed for us to do. I love that the Holy Spirit is not only a third part of the Trinity. We know the Trinity is considered Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Trinity meaning three, but He's also an individual being. And I don't think many people get that about Holy Spirit, because God and Jesus and Holy Spirit are quote unquote invisible beings or invisible entities. A lot of times it's hard for people who don't have a strong faith base to believe that they are actually tangible individuals that you can experience, that you can encounter. You hear it all the time that many people don't even know how to hear from God. That's the infamous question, is how do I hear from God? And it's hard for them to believe that others actually hear from God on a regular or day-to-day basis. But I love the fact that the Bible really teaches us that the Holy Spirit is an individual being. He's an individual person. He has a personality. I like that He is composed of intellect. He has emotions and He has a will. Some of the ways that we see this to be proven is we see it in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 11 that says, "For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God." This lets us know that He has an intellect. He knows the things of God. He knows the heart of God. He's a part of God. And in order for one to know themselves, or one to feel within themselves, or to know what one thinks, we have to have a mind and we have to have a will and a personality in order for that scripture or that statement to be true. The Holy Spirit also has emotions. We see this in Romans 15:30 that says, "Now I beg you, brothers, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit," He loves and He loves to be loved. He can also be loved by us as we seek Him out in an intimate relationship. So, I mean, why wouldn't we want to get to know this person called the Holy Spirit? I mean, if He can think, which means He can interact with us. If He loves, which means we can love Him and He'll love us. Why wouldn't you want to seek out someone who just, to me, sounds amazing? To me, having experience, He is amazing. The Holy Spirit has a mind. We see this in Romans 8:27 that says, "And He that searches the hearts knows what's in the mind of the Spirit." Because we are believers, we are not left alone to cope with our own problems. Like, even during this pandemic, we do not have to go through this alone. We have the Holy Spirit who can think. He can think on such a higher level, past our limited view in time, past our limited view of our situation as it is in the earth right now, of our situation within our community, of our situation within our finances. If we would just depend and get to know Holy Spirit and ask Him what He sees, ask Him what He thinks for us and for our lives and for the decisions that we need to make, we would be so much better off. He's not going to leave us here to cope with our problems alone. And because we're Christians and we have the Holy Spirit within us, getting to know him would allow us to trust him. It would allow us to trust his abilities to help us through everything that we're facing and everything that we will ever face. The Holy Spirit speaks. He has a voice. He can talk. I mean, we see this in Acts chapter 8, verse 29. It says, "Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join yourself to the chariot." He also spoke to Peter in Acts 10, verse 19, that said, "While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek you." I love this. I just taught a live on spiritual gifts of vision. And I know that's a little deep for some people, but Peter was an apostle. He was a person who God had chose to kind of spread the gospel and bring other people to Christianity, to salvation, so that they too could enter heaven. And so in this particular chapter and story, Peter was on the roof of a house and he just kind of went up to pray and kind of meditate on God, something that we as Christians do often. It's how we communicate with God. And so as Peter was on this roof, he had a vision. And so it's kind of like he had a dream while he was awake, and God began to show him some things that would come. And so these men that were coming to take Peter somewhere to do something that God needed him to do. And so in order for Peter to trust the men that came, Holy Spirit talked to him and spoke to him and told him, hey, there's a few men coming, but don't be alarmed. Don't be fearful. They're going to take you to do something that God wants you to do. And so it's beautiful to see that we can expect Holy Spirit to even talk to us. I love talking to Holy Spirit. I love getting what I call downloads or impressions from him. I love being able even to teach these podcasts or create these episodes. It's all based on what Holy Spirit leads and guides me and tells me to say and do. And so I love having that level of intimacy, and I love seeing others come into the realization of Holy Spirit. It's almost like they have a light bulb that goes off, and there's so much excitement as they begin to interact with him and as they begin to see things through new lenses or through new eyes. It's just in a beautiful experience that I've been able to really see over the past year. Let's look at the second key point. The second key point was, why did God send the Holy Spirit? What's the reason behind that? We see the encounter with the first church, right? The first church was basically the first group of people who believed in God, or who was quote unquote Christians. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 6 reads, "While the believers were gathered together, suddenly they heard a noise from heaven that sounded like a violent rushing wind. Then appeared to them tongues of fire distributing themselves, and they rested on each individual. And each individual was filled with the Spirit and began speaking in tongues." I love this particular story in the Bible because it was the first group of people who got together, because Jesus had said, when I go away, when I go to heaven, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. But in order for you guys to receive him, I want you to be in this location, and I want you to stay in this location and pray and worship and commune together until I send the Holy Spirit. And so I really believe that this was one of two things that Jesus wanted these Christians who believed in him to do. One was to obey his command to go to this location and stay there. We know that the Word of God says obedience is better than sacrifice. And through obeying God and obeying the Word of God and living the way that the Word of God says brings such great gifts and blessings. And the problems that we see in the world today is because we do not obey the Word of God. We do not live by the Word of God. We do not live by the principles of God. We are not respectful. We use foul language. We gossip and we backstab against each other. We don't pray consistently. We don't read our Bible consistently. We don't pay our tithes, which is 10% of our earnings, to a ministry or to a church to keep it going and to keep it running so that others can know God. There's so many things that we do not do, but we say we're Christians. We do not do, but we say we believe in God. We do not do, but we say that we're saved and we're going to heaven, but we don't feel like we have to live by any standards or rules because we're adults, because we feel like we pay our own bills, because we feel like we get the jobs that we work at, or we purchase the cars that we drive, or we purchase the homes that we purchase, but we never really think that maybe it's God that gives us the favor to get the interviews that pay for the homes and that purchases the cars and pays for our day-to-day. Maybe it's God who allows our bodies to work the way that they should so that we wake up every day and we can dress ourselves and we can go to work and we can think, but we never wonder why did God send the Holy Spirit. We never seek why is God who he is, because we just feel like we do things on our own. And so what I love about this story is this group of people were obedient. They did what God said to do. They lived the way God said to live. And so in their obedience and in them listening and believing and having faith that God was real, that Jesus was real, and that the Holy Spirit, who they never had experienced, never had known, would come to them. They didn't know what that would look like. They didn't know what that would feel like, but they believed in God enough to know that if we do what he says and we wait in this space, that he would come. And so as we read, we see that the Holy Spirit did come, and the way that they experienced him was he came in like a mighty rushing wind. It's really important to look at that because that shows a way that we can experience the Holy Spirit. We can experience his presence tangibly because we're human as a breeze or a wind. We also see that they had tongues of fire that were above their heads, and that as these tongues of fire came over each individual, they began to speak in tongues. And that means that they began to speak in a different language than their native language, than they were used to speaking. And so what we call that is our heavenly language. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit gives you a gift to speak in a heavenly language. And when you speak in that heavenly language, it's basically a conversation between you and God. The devil can't understand it, and not even man can understand it. It's your own personal language to God. It's one of the most intimate things that Holy Spirit gives you to communicate with him and God. And it's just such a beautiful experience. There's a lot of times when I go into prayer and I really don't know the words to say, or I really, really don't know how to express how I'm feeling. Maybe I'm hurt, or maybe something devastating has happened, or maybe I'm just overjoyed and I just don't know how to express it. I'll begin to speak in my heavenly language and really know that I'm communicating to God without having the pressures to think of the words to say. There's other times where there's things that I want God to do for me, or there's things that I want God to do for others, and I don't want to mess it up with my words. I'll begin to speak in my heavenly language with my thoughts, knowing that this is what I want to communicate to God, and he interprets that language. It's just such a beautiful experience and such a beautiful gift to have and to be able to operate. I love this scripture because it sets up an expectation for those who haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, but it also gives us an understanding as to why Jesus asked God to send him. I just love Acts. I love the book of Acts because it really begins to teach us about the first church and how they developed Christianity and how they spread the word. I believe that in this scripture of Acts that we read, Acts 2, verse 1 through 6, that God knew that we would need him through our life's journey. He absolutely knew that when Jesus left the earth, that if he didn't send someone, that we would not be able to make it through life without a helper. I mean, even if we look at the state of the world now, because we're not believing in the Father, because we're not living with and through the Holy Spirit, because we don't pray enough and we don't read our Bibles and we don't apply the things that the Word of God says, I strongly believe it's why the world is in such a disarray that it is in now. I mean, even in the fact that we see going to grocery stores, you can't buy toilet paper because of the pandemic. Why? Because people are so scared and fearful that they're not going to have enough for their families, that they act in greed and selfishness, and they buy everything up for themselves, not being considerate or mindful or kind enough for other individuals to yet have what they need for their family. And if the world was living by God's rules and God's standards, and if the world knew Holy Spirit, they would act in love. One of the things about the first church that in the book of Acts in the Bible, the people gathered together and they contributed to take care of one another. They brought everything that they owned into the church, and the church bought and provided everything that each family and individual needed. And they went throughout different countries and different communities, creating this sense of family and unity and love. And you just don't see that anymore. Like, it's completely non-existent. So I love that God knew that we would have these challenges in our character, that we would have these breakdowns in our personality. So he knew that good and bad times would come in our lives. Like, he's God. He knows all things, and that we would not be able to depend on ourselves for directions. Like, I don't know about you, but I can look at a lot of my choices or my poor decisions that have cost me so much, not just financially, but emotionally, physically, right? Mentally. And some of those things, even though I know God, I'm still paying for. Why? Because God has given us choice. That's one thing that God gave every human, was choice. He didn't want us to serve him because we had to. He wants us to serve him because we want to serve him. He wants us to get to know him because we want to get to know him. But so many of us aren't doing that because we've been through things that have been hard or difficult, and we feel like he didn't help us, or we feel like he wasn't there, and we fail to realize that it wasn't that he wasn't there or he didn't want to help us, but that we made choices, that humans that hurt us made choices. And even, let's say, some of the things that I struggle with financially was because I made poor choices. And unfortunately, the poor choices was because of the lack of example that I had in my upbringing when it came to finances. And I think that a lot of us can really identify and agree together that we have had so many poor examples through life that have caused us to make poor decisions that have kind of put us in these never-ending holes, or these sinkholes, or this quicksand where we're always trying to catch up, but we can't in certain areas of our life because of bad examples. But God is trying to get us to know him. God is calling us to know Holy Spirit so that he can give us the direction, because we can have a better life. We don't have to be in debt. We don't have to live paycheck to paycheck. We don't have to be in lack. If we would just get to know God, if we would just get to know who Holy Spirit was, if we would just seek him out and spend time with him, he would begin to show us the answers and the ways out of the things that are the biggest struggles in our life. Are you willing to make that time? Are you willing to get to know who he is? Are you willing to reach out to someone who knows who he is and says, hey, can you teach me even more about Holy Spirit? Can you walk me through the process so that I can be better? Because I don't want to struggle. I don't want my family to struggle. For some of us who are parents, I don't want my children to live by my bad example and struggle in their lives. I know that I haven't made good decisions. I know that I may not have been the best example, even though I provided for my family. I could have acted better, or I could have had a better attitude, or I could have been more loving, or I could have been more understanding, or I could have had more patience and less of a temper, or I could have been less controlling and really allowed them to be their own people and to experience life on their own. If I would have known Holy Spirit, if I would have applied myself in the things that God says to do through the Bible. Are we willing to do that? I would ask and beg of you to consider that being a choice that you would make today as a result of listening to this episode. The third and final key point that I wanted to kind of bring up was, when does the Holy Spirit come to us? Like at what point do we know that we have the Holy Spirit? And so I know for me, and over the year consecration, I learned that the Holy Spirit came into my heart when I accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. To back this up with scripture in Ephesians 1 verse 13 through 14, it says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and in whom also you have believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I love that. I love that because what it tells us is that when we heard someone talk about Jesus, like you're hearing this episode, and we said, hey, Jesus, I don't really know how to say this. I don't really know how this works, but I want to believe in you. I believe in your story. I believe that you lived long ago. I believe that you died on a cross and that you rose from the dead. Even though it's really hard for me to fathom that, I want to truly believe that that is true. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to live a better life. I want more out of life. I want better direction in life. I want to be empowered to do great things in the earth, whether that's empowering me to go back to school for a career I never thought I was smart enough to do, or I want to be empowered to start a business so that I don't have to work for other people, but I can make my dreams come true, or I want to believe in you and I want to be empowered to live a life that you have predestined me to live, maybe to write a book or maybe to teach others or maybe to do podcasts like this and encourage others. Holy Spirit comes when we make that decision to believe in Christ. He comes in our heart instantaneously. There's nothing we have to do. There's no hoops we have to jump through. There's no rules or regulations we have to keep. He literally is in our hearts. And the more that we get to know him, the more that we seek him out, the more that we study and read about him, the more that we will begin to feel him tangibly, the more we will begin to hear him audibly, the more we will begin to see him in the things that he does in our lives. I love in the scripture that it said that when we receive and believe in our salvation, when we hear the word of salvation and we believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. Back in the Old Testament, or back in the olden days, the people called Hebrews, or the generation of Hebrews, what they would do when they had important documents that they wanted to protect, and we've seen this on movies, they would burn wax, right? Some of it's red, and they would put this seal, or they would press down and it would create a wax or hard seal on the document, and you would know if that document had been tampered with because the seal would be broken. And so as we look at this scripture, we're sealed. Once we receive Christ as our Savior and Holy Spirit comes in our heart, there's a spiritual seal that happens that can never be broken. Basically, there's a promise that happens that when we leave, when we die on this earth, that we will go to heaven. But there's also a seal that as we live on this earth, that we are protected by God. It's not to say that things won't be difficult for us sometimes. It's not to say that we won't experience things that are negative, but we will have protection as we go through hard times in life. Here's the thing, you guys, about hard times in life. Here's the thing about difficult situations. It's meant to build character in us. It's meant to make us better. If we lived a life that was not difficult, if we lived a life that didn't have challenges, we wouldn't grow. We wouldn't grow in our character. We wouldn't grow in our knowledge base. We wouldn't grow in our maturity. We wouldn't grow in our experiences. The problem that we're seeing as adults in this world that has fallen, that is more self-consumed and self-absorbed, is that we're experiencing hardship and difficult times as a result of poor choices of ourselves, poor choices of others around us, poor choices of our community leaders, poor choices of our presidents. And so we live in these difficult times, circumstances, and situations, and we feel like that reflects on who God is. And unfortunately, it reflects on the fact that God gave us choice, and we abuse the privilege and the ability to make our own choices. There's so many countries and so many nations where people don't have the free will to do the things that they would want to do, or to become who they would want to become, because they're dictators and there's people who rule over them that don't allow them, or there's parents and families who create rules and regulations that block them from being the persons that they would love to be. And here we are in America, and we have free choice and free reign to do what we want to do, and yet we don't respect the power of choice. And so now we're caused and forced to stay in our homes because of the pandemic. And we challenge even that. We don't even do what they tell us to do. We don't stay in the house when they tell us to stay in the house. We still go to places that aren't important for us to be at. Or they say for us to stand 6 feet apart from one another so that we can prevent the spread of the disease. But yet you see people still going into people's spaces and not respecting the request to stay 6 feet apart of each other. Not because they're telling us what to do, but they're trying to help benefit all of the people who are dying and benefit all of the healthcare workers who are overworked because people aren't following the rules. Why? Because of poor choice. And so I just pray that because we have this opportunity to be saved, because we have this opportunity to know Holy Spirit, that we believe on that, and that once we accept Christ, we believe that we are sealed with an unbreakable seal that will bring protection, that will bring prosperity, that will bring good health and wealth to our lives if we would just believe. That's it, y'all. I don't have much more to say than that. I know this was probably, I'm hoping, a shorter episode than what I normally do. I pray that you all are well. I love you all so much. And until next week, bye now.